He died and then rose again, right? He's supposed to be alive now. All right. So we are continuing on in this reality check study. We haven't changed because of the fun day. So we're going through this process because there's idols, right? And the idols that we're recognizing that the Wicked Man has been planting, or most of the time have been planted a long time ago, right? Are we starting to catch that pattern? Like, this stuff isn't just, oh, it all of a sudden happened in 2020. Like, it just now is affecting the community. It's now just starting to impact us. It's now a rise and, oh, look, now this stuff is happening. So if we sense that this pattern is now happening continuously through each of these subjects, we should start to become more aware that this particular subject isn't going to be any different from the rest, right? So we're talking about entertainment today. I'm going to read this part because I think it just also just points out exactly what you pointed out just a few minutes ago with this AARP conversation and my silver hair over here. Today, we check our Blockbuster cards and rewind our VHS tapes. I'm going to need to confiscate them all. Be kind, please rewind. Remember that? Give a VHS tape to one of these kids. They won't know what to do with it. They won't know what to do with it. Yep, they won't know what to do with it. They don't understand the torture and pain that we had to go through to listen to music. Okay? Yeah, but, I mean, like, you guys can literally just hit play. You can go, you can ask Siri to play this song and it's done. Okay? Huh? That's not on. But like, and I also have to say the H-E-Y verse in front of it or she doesn't respond. But anyway, so, you guys get that luxury. We had to actually go and put the thing in the thing and then have to either fast forward or rewind to get to the song. And there was no markings that said, oh, by the way, you got at the song already. You had to just, by knowledge, know where to find it. I mean, it was easier on a record, to be honest with you, because you eventually learned where it was on the record. Like, you could figure it out and then you start to got, you know, you start to figure it out and mark, you know, oh, this is where this one starts. You can't even see it. It's hidden inside the cassette machine. Like, you literally can't see where the lines are. You don't know where this starts. Yes, this was a nightmare. All right. So, but of course we're talking about entertainment. So entertainment has evolved much over time. It started as, like, you know, street entertainment to jesters, if you go way back when, then plays, musicals, operas. Now, today, we have so much more entertainment and it's at your literal fingertip. I mean, literally, you all probably, like, somebody here has their phone out already, right? You could literally right now on your phone look up anything and be entertained instantly. Instantly. Okay? Like, I mean, could you imagine going back to the 1800s and want to go see a play? You had to wait for it to come to your town. And you marked it on your calendar, right, and circled it, and you paid for your tickets, and then you showed up, and you were entertained by whatever was there. And you really didn't care necessarily what was there. Was it a magician? Was it a singer? Was it an artist? Like, you don't care. You're like, oh, we're going to watch somebody paint. Could you imagine, like, if you were going to watch Bob Ross paint? Like, oh, man.
Hey, I used to watch him every Sunday.
Oh, my God. I mean, I would have been happy. Everybody else would have. You know, it's just his, it was his voice. It was his voice, right? But now it's not, now it's at a surplus and it's there to do it at a incessant pace. It will entertain you without ceasing. Okay. So you have movies, video games, TV, streaming music. Along this journey, entertainment went from giving God to glory to barely acknowledging him at all. Fact. There was a point in time where actually even the entertainment was acknowledged and divinely purposed. God purposed these things. And yet, here we are today. I mean, you literally have to dig to find something godly. And you're lucky it's there now because eventually not be there. Because if they have their way, they'll remove God from everything. See, it's an idol. This one's not hard to discover, right? We understand that. It's pretty obvious. It's clear. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 8. And we're going to start there. We're going to uncover some stuff. And this is going to seem confusing. going to seem like, you're like, Pastor, are you smoking something? Because they're talking about food. That's coming down the line. You're on entertainment now. I remember you said food back then, but we're at entertainment. Just ride the wave. You remember, was it Seth? I'm not talking about. Yeah. I'm not talking about food. Just remember that. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. Thank you, Lord. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Thank you, Jesus. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. I want you to circle the word knowledge, if you do. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge of eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak of the weaker brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. The last one. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Again, I'm not talking about food. It's very easy to read this and get mixed up into this whole idea of they're just centrally focused on eating food offered to idols. Scripture is very hearty. And if you read it just for what it says up front in the very baseline of it, you're just reading it for the milk of it, correct? Right? But in everything God has provided, there's not just milk, but there's also meat and potatoes. I'm giving you meat and potatoes today. So if people were wondering, when's the meat coming? Here it is. We see that there are a few correlations that we can draw through this passage. Eating or entertainment is not for better or for worse. That means, as far as God sees the entertainment that we have, it is not for better or for worse as far as, and I want to be clear, the concept of entertainment. Let's be clear. One person being entertained by something. Okay? Watching a movie, playing a game, socializing, parties, the thing we're actually going to do later today is a form of entertainment. Right? Okay? We're entertaining ourselves. The next thing that we can correlate is the freedom that we have in entertainment, however, can be a stumbling block for another. That means we have to be careful what is entertaining us, because there are peering eyes that will observe what is entertaining you. Are we getting this? We're not talking about food. The stumbling part, right? That stumbling block that was at the very end is where the idol worship enters in. This is where it starts. So let's play this in a little bit of a scenario. I need all the parents to put their hands up. Okay? You watch stuff. You probably entertained yourself plenty over the course of time. You might have even entertained yourself BC. With things that were not great or things that you shouldn't entertain yourself with. Yes? Would you agree? Okay, okay. Now, if at any point entertainment built up, okay, remember, not neither good or bad, but some of this stuff has carried through. Habits formed. You then have children and you are entertaining yourself. Those children are going to see that entertainment and they are going to observe that. And they are going to then implement that into their lives. Now, do they have the same processes to correlate what is good and what is bad? No. And so thus starts the idol worship, because they are not going to be able to take and weigh carefully those things as you do. Not without the proper, remember that word I said to circle? Knowledge. This is important. It's super important. Entertainment is not inherently bad, but those who have the correct knowledge can avoid the snare that it comes with. Be very much aware. Entertainment has a snare in it. The wicked man designed it to be so, and therefore it does. You must know that. The snare entertainment brings is in its ability to take our attention away from, guess who? God. Which is why it is an idol. Because anything that is taking our attention, our fixation, or our finances, or anything that we can bring or offer and giving it to another is then therefore an idol, right? So we can understand how entertainment quickly becomes an idol, because the whole concept of entertainment is to have our attention. But God is okay with us having our attention on something for a temporary period of time. It is, however, not that way anymore now, is it? Because again, it's at our fingertips. We have it in excess. We can watch things day and night, on and on and on and on. And by the way, guess what? He's so crafty, he designed it to keep you hooked. How many people watch shows on TV? It's okay. You watch shows. Y'all heard of the cliffhanger? Don't you hate them? Because you now end up doing what? It's a new thing. These kids do it. You binge watch. You realize you sit and watch, if you watch 3 episodes of a show today, you've watched 3 hours of TV without ceasing and stopping? 3 hours. So let's go on a tithing principle. 24 hours in a day, if you take 10% of the hours out of the day, that would be 2.4 hours out of your day that you should give to God. And literally, in 3 episodes of some show, you have given 3 hours of your day to another, not God. How quickly it goes. Just giving you an idea of where the snare is and why it is so carefully planted, right? The idea behind the snare, and again, the attraction and the consistency, is to get us to then entertain or worship false gods, right? Not only this, but the stumbling block can then also affect others, younger generations. If you watch a show, your kids start watching said show, yet they lack the knowledge to be able to discern where those footholds are and get caught up in even more or worse things. Do we see where we've gotten? How we are here? We've arrived, by the way. I don't know if you are aware of this, but we are here now. It exists today. Because kids are watching stuff that I cannot even believe. And it's just there, and it's apparently on YouTube, and it's supposedly kid-friendly. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not talking about it here at church. It would gross some people out. But please understand that that's exactly what the wicked man preys on. That's exactly what he wants. He wants to gain the attention of the younger generation, because his whole objective is to steal this generation away by entertainment. Plain and simple. So we understand, right? We get it. That's the goal. All right. First Timothy then, and we'll explain more about this knowledge. Oh, Timothy, guard which, what, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even tell you guys. First Timothy 6 chapter 20:21. It's the very last part. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Timothy is actually being warned about this exact false knowledge, that same knowledge I brought your attention to in the previous chapter. This is where the wicked man's scheme unfolds. He corrupts knowledge that can discern the influences of the entertainment. So therefore, you're blinded or you're distracted to not notice what is actually coming in and infiltrating into your spirit, man. Right? He corrupts the knowledge that can discern the impact that that entertainment is actually having on others. It blinds you from the reality that this is actually affecting people around you, your children, those that are in your social network. And here's some food for thought. Things maybe you guys didn't know. Did anybody here know the Hays Code? Have you ever heard the Hays Code? Nope, probably not. Doubtful. You heard the Hays Code? What is it? Do you know? You said you think so. You don't know, but you think you might have heard of it before. You were probably the only person here that I think actually does recognize and know it, but you'll know it when I tell you what it is. The Hays Code is what predated the current rating system of your movies, video games, and etc. The Hays Code was actually a moral-based guideline system for what would entertainment allow and not allow. It was actually a Christian-run process because they used God as the moral authority over what would be produced, published, and made public to the citizens of this country via entertainment. Now, it has been substituted with CARA, C-A-R-A. Anybody familiar with CARA? You probably didn't know that. But CARA is the one that gave you the PG rating, PG-13 rating, G rating, R rating, X rated. All of those ratings come through CARA. Do you know who makes the decisions on whether or not that's that is a rating based off of whatever? Do you know who does that? A board of parents. A board of parents. That is who is basically saying whether or not this is suitable for your kids to watch. It isn't technically even government. It is just a group of parents that, guess what, have probably been influenced by entertainment and moved into different veins and networks to things that they now would not normally have tolerated, but now are acceptable because, well, we have to be inclusive. We have to accept all things. We have to make sure everybody is happy. This is good for all people. Your kids should know about fill in the blank. But yet, here it is. And it's approved. Because this movement has allowed it. What has now happened is that you have had a God standard or God's knowledge substituted for man's standard and man's knowledge. And now you know why it is a very, very dangerous idol to engage with, period. In its current state, it is wickedness extreme. And if you don't believe me, ask your kids. Ask them what they have watched, what they have seen. See what they tell you. Because you will know, just by the few things they will utter to you and tell you what they have seen, it would possibly horrify you. Now, if you have very little ones, obviously, I think you guys are pretty good. I know you have two littles that are not answering phone calls because Wheels on the Bus is going on. But, you know, that's okay, right? But that's going to come into the next side of this, okay? We're going to get to that in a minute. Remember that the wicked man wants to use idols to steal our worship and attention toward God and give it an idol instead. The scheme does not hide this fact. That's what is very clear. It's not hidden. This shouldn't actually shock anybody here, does it? Is anybody getting shocked by this? Even you guys? You guys are aware, right? You know the garbage that's online right now, right? Isn't it? It's like horrible. You search for something like video game related, you find like 27 things that are not, right? Yeah. Yeah. No, they're not really. They're not, again, go back to the original part. Entertainment is not inherently bad. It's the knowledge behind it and knowing how to discern where and what is. If you are not in that right knowledge, you can easily become a victim of entertainment. However, if you are in the right knowledge, you can filter through and choose rightly the things that are allowed and entertaining you. The wicked man is not hiding it, okay? He is very blatant, he is very blunt, and he is smug about it. We should be offended. Because he succeeds. Without even breaking a sweat. Why does he succeed? Because we have given into, guess what? False knowledge. That the same scripture in Timothy warned us about. The profane and idle babblings and contradictions have been tickling our ears and our eyes. And what do? We compromise our standards because we have been entrenched in the system for so long. Again, being entertained is not inherently bad or good, but what is entertaining us can be. And this is where the compromise has come in, and many have been stumbling for generations. Here's what I mean. When I grew up, we did not have cable in our house. Everything came through videotape. That's why I jokingly brought out the Blockbuster card and the VHS tapes. Because that was my life. I grew up with no other outlet other than what my mother rented through the video store. However, I was around during the cable movement. My upbringing was in the same timeline that cable, HBO, Cinemax, and all these other big, you know, box office cable networks were making their money. And think about this. If you could remember what you used to watch on TV when you were a kid, and now watch what is out there today, and see how desperately wicked and different it has become. I'm not even joking, even the kids' shows. Everything. Because, again, he is not hiding it, he is not shy, he is blatant, he is obviously doing it. So what happened? Why is it so difficult? Where's the hook? Because we've compromised our standard for what is excellent and what is good. We have compromised and given into that false knowledge that, well, it's not that bad. Well, there's worse. They could be watching this instead. You're compromising and you're moving away from the standard of excellence that God has originally established. And you're not, and here's the other compromise, you stop training your children, you've allowed the entertainment industry to do it for you. You've trusted your hands in the hands of the devil to take care of your kids and not train them in the knowledge. And guess who's training them in now false knowledge? That entertainment industry. And you can probably pull it, and you probably have many account of those who do. And you see what is happening. You watch it unfold. It's almost criminal. And I'm not even bringing up advertisements and how they entice you and how they lure you to spend your money on things that are complete waste of time and money. They steal your kids' education. They steal your kids' time. I mean, I could go on for hours with this, but I'm pulling back because I like to let you guys make those discoveries on your own, find those nuggets on your own. So here's our battle, guys. In order to fight against this, we're actually not fighting against the entertainment industry. It's done. I mean, it's literally as deceased and dead as it ever could be. Do you know that? It's so wicked and shameful that it's derelict. Like, even the people in the entertainment industry are literally just going, yeah, no. No, I'm good. I'll pass. And they're walking away. Like, they're literally having a hard time trying to continue to propagate even worse things because it's gotten so bad. So, it's not going anywhere. But it's also not going to progress any worse. It's not, it's just, it is what it is. It's as dreadfully awful as it could ever be, and it's just not going to change. But what can we do? Because I don't want to redeem it. There's nothing to redeem. True. There isn't. There's nothing to redeem in the entertainment industry. Because there's still some good stuff out there. You just got to dig for it. There are companies that, I mean, I can tell you about one that's doing kids' work right now. The Tuttle Twins. I highly believe every single person should research them, find out whether or not you want to give them money and support them because they're producing great things for kids. I mean, there are good companies out there that are doing things for kids to make better entertainment. There's game companies that do the same thing. So the industry in itself, again, entertainment on its own, not inherently bad, not inherently good. But we have to know how to filter out what is and what is not. And where we have to battle is not the industry. We have to battle our compromise. That's where the battle lies. So turn with me to Revelation 2, because I think we need a wake-up call. And like I said, this is a reality check. So maybe we should learn about what happens to the church that compromised. Amen? You know what happens to the church that compromised? Go find out. This is Revelation 2, 13 through 16. I'm moving past the angel to the Lord stuff. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Think about that. The compromising church literally dwells in the throne room of Satan. Does that mean they're literally Satan worshipers? No. That means that who's the ruler of this earth? Who's currently the ruler of this earth? Satan is. Right? He is currently the ruler of this earth. He is. That's why it's corrupt. That's why it's wicked. That's why the entertainment industry is so derelict and horrible, right? That's why it is the way it is, because he is sitting on the throne and he is pulling all the strings, right? What's the compromising church doing? You're dwelling where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So again, God's acknowledging that the church, this church, still recognizes God, still acknowledges him, still acknowledges the sacrifices that are made in his name and in his honor, but they're still in where? They're still dwelling in the same place that Satan himself does. There's an acknowledgement of the pressures of what is upon this church, okay? But here's where those few things that he has against us come into play. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block. Remember that? We talked about that already. There's the stumbling block, right? We're not talking about food. Before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I'm not going to get into that. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Here's the thing. This church made one true mistake. One. They allowed a separate doctrine to come in. And again, that stumbling block, how did it get there? Through a false knowledge. This doctrine, right? When you understand that the situation is real, because where we dwell is the same place that Satan dwells, we have to also understand that his mission has not changed. His goals and objectives have not changed. He wants the throne of God. He believes he belongs on it. He wants all of the worship. He wants all of the attention. He wants all the focus. That's why he was kicked out. Do you not know this? If you didn't, that's why. And that's why he hates God. But where the compromising church failed was because it did not protect against that stumbling block, just like Timothy was warned against, right? The tactic was a false doctrine that led Israel to compromise God's standards. That's where we have to fight. And so here's how we combat against entertainment. I'm going to give you an acronym, because I love them. You guys do too. I know you do. The word is FAME. F-A-M-E. First, how do we win against compromising? F. First and only priority is God. He gets our everything. What is left over, you can spend on entertainment, if you so desire. But first and foremost, God must be number one. He is your one and only priority. A. You must be alert and watchful for stumbling blocks, because our enemy is crafty and he will hide them well. If you thought that this happened because it was so blatantly obvious when it first started, you fool. It wasn't obvious. It came in all sneaky-like. It's only blatantly obvious now because, well, why hide it? He knows. He's got it. He knows he won the industry. So there's no point in hiding it anymore. Doesn't mean they're still not hidden out there. M, moral standards and excellence are a must. If you do not have a moral standard in your life, you will let anything come in. If you do not have a standard of excellence in your life, you will settle. It's that simple. We should always look to honor God, always. And then E, and this is where I believe the biggest problem lies. Sadly, I know it's the last letter, but there aren't a lot of letters, and you can't really get rid of F first because God is first. So, FAME is my acronym. E is to educate yourself with his knowledge. This is where the church has failed. I won't pull that punch back. It is. Because we come up here, we train our children through Bible lessons and stories. But we don't actually train them how to have the knowledge to discern correctly the difference between what is good and wholesome for their life and what is putrid and disgusting. And to not ever cross that line. Clifford? Sure. It's evil. Oh yeah. Yep. 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 Right. Yep. And what you're pointing out, Clifford having a seance or whatever. This is what I mean by the infiltration and not having knowledge. Its innocence will rob your children because they think that it's harmless. They think that it does nothing to them. But what it does is it brings them into an entertainment of false idol worship. It brings them into worshiping false gods, taking in other doctrines like Balaam and Barak, then having that becoming a stumbling block to others, spreading this disease of corruption through and through and through and through and through. It doesn't seem like it's anything, but in reality, it's actually everything. Because it has one mission and one goal, and that is to literally rob, steal, and destroy. It wants to take the innocence of your youth and rob it and corrupt it as early as humanly possible. So if you don't educate them, look, I'm all for Bible stories are great. Learn about David. Learn about Jonah. Learn about Moses. I think that's all great. Noah's awesome. I love Noah. Noah's my favorite. Okay? Seriously. But if that's all your kids know, where's the practical knowledge of knowing how to discern the difference between good and evil? Where's the knowledge of knowing that this is actually not going to benefit you in the future because it'll lead you to death and destruction? But what is over here is good and wholesome, and God will bless and anoint you. What happened to wanting to have your children inherit the promises of God? What happened to wanting your children to have the blessings of God upon them because they've chosen rightly God's choice? That they make a discerned decision. That it's not you making that decision for them. Last time I checked, Bible doesn't tell me to taste test all of your kids' food and make sure it's not poisoned. Last time I checked, it doesn't tell me that you need to make all the decisions for your kids. You want to know what it tells you your responsibility is, parents? Listen up, I'll tell you only once. Train the child in the way that they should go. It's your job to train them. And if they're going the way of the world, guess what that means? I'm sorry, but you're going to have to take this one on the shoulder. You failed. You failed. No, I don't want to hit you in the chin. Don't ruin the moneymakers. It means we failed. But that's not all. What do we have to do? What did it say in Revelation? We can make it right, but we have to do something. what? We have to repent. If we can come to agree that, all right, yeah, we dropped the ball. Yeah, we made the mistake. Yeah, we've not led our children in the right directions because I didn't do my job to train them in the way that they should go. I didn't train them in the knowledge of the things that are good and to know the difference and to not make any compromises when it comes to the things of God. I've set that standard and that bar for my kid so they are educated and know. This is what is good. You want to know why people find it hard to relate with those believers who literally make those lines in the sand? Because not compromising has become passé. It's become you're an OG, you're old school, you're this, you're that, oh, you're so whatever, fill in the blanks. I mean, you just get insulted because after all, you're upholding a good godly standard for your kids in your life. Okay, boomer, yeah, that's another one, right? Oh well, because when it comes down to eternity in heaven or the other choice, I think we should want our kids to have that eternity in heaven. And I think we want that for ourselves. So it's what our job. It's what we have to do. Is it going to be an easy job? Nope. Didn't say it would be because he's not going to stop. Given that we live in an entertainment-based world means avoidance is nigh impossible. That's my point. That is why we must be diligent in making sure we are guarded. Does that mean as parents we have to be protective of what we let in our houses? Yes. Yes, you do. Does this mean that teenagers really need to be grounded in their faith before they explore the web, TV, game market, whatever? Yes. That's what I'm trying to say. Stop giving your kid a tablet and go, here, whatever you want to watch. Do they know what they're doing? Well, they know how to look it up. Do you know what they're looking up? Well, I mean, they don't have access to anything. I put on the parent or, you know, watcher filter. They can only look at certain things that aren't explicit, whatever, fill in the blank. I will help you and educate you. I'll set it on there and I'll pull up stuff that is supposedly okay for your kids to watch. And then you make a decision on whether or not you think it's okay. I will horrify you. Instantly horrify you. Hold on. Does this mean that we have support and accountability through this? That we need it? Yes. You're going to need all the help you can get. You need a pastor. You need help. You need support. You need discipling. You need to disciple your kids. That's part of it. The scheme for this truly plays on our unwillingness to set hard standards and or our laziness to uphold them. Are we a compromising church or are we a victorious one? Only time will tell. Your challenge, because I do actually have a challenge for you this day. So good luck. Have fun with this one. If you need help, I can point you in the direction of somebody I know who does this well. If you need the help. Set standards in your home and don't budge. Do not move. Plant your feet firmly on the word. Stand your ground. The entertainment world is meant to attract us and steal our attention. Do not give in and make exceptions. Be firm and decisive because your adversary will. He is going to play you move for move. It is a chess game. You have to stand your ground. You have to protect your king. If you don't, you will lose. It's that serious. So it's important that you stand your ground. Set standards. Hold them. I don't care if your kids make your life miserable. Who's on the throne? Then hold your ground. Be that which God has called you to be. It might be ugly sometimes and it might be hard sometimes. And I understand this very true statement, so I'll say it for all you. I know I don't have kids. And I don't understand. I don't need to have kids to understand this one. Because I still have to uphold this standard in my own home. It doesn't change whether you have kids or not. The standard isn't just for your kids. The standard's for you too. Amen? Amen? Father, We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for how it trains us and how it leads us into your righteousness. God, we thank you for the eternal sacrifice that your son has made on the cross. That, Lord, through that we can repent, God, of our lack. We can repent, God, of our laziness. We can repent for the areas we have let go and compromised in, God. And we ask and pray for your forgiveness upon us, Lord, so that we can establish your awesome and perfect standards for us, God, that we may uphold them through your truth, God, and that we will stand firm, God, whenever these attacks would come, God. We do not want to be the compromising church, God. So, Lord, have your way in our lives, God. May your word find fertile soil in our hearts. May it blossom, may it grow, and may it produce fruit that will continue to mature and provide for our every need daily. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.